Tell us something we don't know. Welcome in. Happy Monday to everyone in the Barn community, Auburn fans everywhere. My name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean, and you are listening or watching the Barn Social Hour. Welcome in, everyone. Happy Monday. Graham, let's just hop right into it. At the top of the show, I said, tell us something we don't know. And we're referring to the list that was put out. And Graham, I'll kind of throw it to you because this shouldn't be a shock, especially at least if you've been listening to this show, because we've been high on him since he walked on campus. But like, Graham, I kind of throw it to you. What's your thoughts on, you know, or at least like give us where the list is from and everything.
Yeah. So, the list has come from PFF or Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest, you know, analytics companies that evaluates, you know, NFL, college football, all that stuff. Probably really the leader in that, you know, everyone kind of goes to PFF for, you know, analytics and stats and stuff like that. And so PFF put out a list of, it's the top five to eight quarterbacks in the SEC coming up on this year, according to their PFF rating, which is like a number rating, basically, like you put all their stuff, stats and everything together, mm-hmm. and they get like a rating number. And so on that list, it's top eight.
Bang.
Yours one and only, Byron Brown, is the number one quarterback returning to the SEC. I mean, I love that. Now, do you have to keep in mind the fact that, yes, Byron Brown did play in a different league last year compared to
yes.
all these other guys? You know, Trinidad played in the SEC last year. Arch played in the SEC last year. Kamario Taylor played in the SEC last year. Landon Clark, that name's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't really know a lot about him because, you know, I guess he played when Nussmeier got benched last year.
I guess so. Yeah, I can't remember that whole Gunnar Stockton storyline.
Is coming back to the SEC. Sam Levitt played in Big 12, mm-hmm. whatever the Arizona State is in. He played in a Power 5 conference. Or Power 4, and then mm-hmm. obviously Lenore Sellers, another SEC returner. So, yeah, if you ask me, it's a little bit skewed because Byron Brown has played in what I would consider a little bit of an easier league. Still impressive, nonetheless. Mm-hmm. But he still was putting up those numbers and is considered the top graded quarterback returning in the SEC. So, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's well deserved and it's a no brainer. I know it was. You know, he played in a weaker conference, but he still played against Florida last year. They played against Miami, and he ended up totaling, you know, for the year, 3,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards. So that's nothing to really laugh at. I mean, you can, you know, laugh all you want, but I mean, I'm not shocked by this. I think he is the best quarterback in the SEC right now. If you were to, you know, put him up, I mean, maybe this is a hard maybe Sam Levitt, because he, you know, popped off at Arizona State. But, you know, again, that's somebody that's outside of the conference coming in this year. So I don't know. It's just a different time. And I think, you know, if I had to, you know, redo the list, I think I moved Sam Levitt up just a little bit. Now Gunnar Stockton, you know, is in there too. He's really good, but Trinidad was really, really solid for Ole Miss. I mean,
Arch is kind of surprising just because of
the first
few games he had last year were not the best. Now the last eight were.
Yeah.
Really good, but the first couple were rocky.
Yeah, but I do think Trinidad Chambliss is going to be pretty solid this year. I think he carries the momentum that he used in the playoff and that kind of that fuel of, you know, Kiffin and the whole carousel with that and that circus that, you know, transpired during their playoff run. I think he will continue to turn heads and he will be, you know, considered, you know, highly among the masses, if you will, as the season progresses. But I do think Byron Brown's the best one. If you like put them head to head, I think Byron Brown's the best one. If you had to give me a choice of who you want, Trinidad or Byron, I'm picking Byron all day, every day.
And you talking about, you know, their first, I mean, Byron playing Florida and Miami last year. I just looked, I want to see what his stats were during those games. So he threw, and funny enough, he threw 36 attempts in both games, Florida and Miami. Wow. In the Florida game, he completed 23 of them. In the Miami game, he completed 20 of them. In the Florida game, he threw for 263 yards. And in the Miami game, he threw for 274 yards.
Lord.
Touchdown against Florida, one touchdown against Miami, but an interception against Miami as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sacked twice against Miami and only once against Florida. And then rushing wise, which this is interesting, Miami, again, Miami was one of the best teams in the country, but he had 13 carries for only 2 yards. Now keep in mind, sack yardage is taken into account.
Right.
There. So that will take some of that numbers off, especially because he was sacked twice. And then in the Florida game, he carried the ball for 17 times and with a total of 66 rushing yards. So I'm not going to lie. I'm actually kind of blown away by those throwing numbers or passing numbers. I was not expecting that. In fact, those are in like his top five of like the most on the year. Later in the year against like Navy and UAB and Rice, he threw ridiculous numbers. Like he almost threw 400 against UAB.
Gah. Take that, yeah. Trent Dilfer.
But yeah, I mean, I'm impressed the amount of yards he was able to throw against Miami and Florida, especially for being a quarterback that is, you know, really considered a big running threat. And so, yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I just, again, you look at those numbers and you think, well, he won't do that in the SEC. Guys, he's playing Florida and Miami, who ended up, I know that they probably lost, you know, obviously they lost against Miami, you know, no crap, you know, but they beat Florida in the swamp. And Miami literally came up short of being a national champion against Indiana. So, in a way, if you look at it, they finished second in the country, if you will. So, and then granted, you know, the Rices, the UABs, the Navies, you know, it's just a no-brainer. I'm blown away by those stats too. I knew about the Florida game. I didn't know about the Miami game. So that's really cool to see, or just to hear those stats. But I'm excited. I'm ready. The fact that he's put in, you know, everyone's saying that, you know, he looks better and healthier than he did at USF. And I think he's, you know, gained a little bit more muscle weight too. So that's a positive for the rushing attack, because like he said at that dinner, he is a violent runner and he will let you know about it. So I am curious to see, you know, how we capitalize on that. Yep. With him and Cobb in the backfield, because that 1-2 punch is going to be nasty. If it's anything like College Football 27, I know it's a video game, but it's a 1-2 punch that is a force to be reckoned with.
And so, we'll see. You know, they're kind of talking about this. If y'all, you know, watch the Barn Spin the Wheel show, comes out mm-hmm. Thursday nights on live. If y'all watching that, you know, who knows who RB2 is? If it's, you know, Omar Mabson, Preston Washington, at this point, I really don't care. I think they're both similar.
Yeah.
But I mean, just talk about how deep of a running threat we are, just from Byram to Jeremiah to possibly Omar. I mean, both Omar and Bryson Washington. So,
yeah.
Absolutely deep threat when it comes to running. Let's just hope our offensive line can block well enough that we can use our running ability well and consistent. But yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, and hopefully we have really good pass protection too, because, you know, everyone still talks about the Ada game. It's like, oh, he played, but, you know, y'all, he had a leash. Every quarterback and their mom has a leash during A-Day, during a spring game. It's just how it is, because you don't want to get in, you don't want to risk an injury that's just for a pointless game, okay? I know it's not pointless to some people, but for, you know, when you're looking at everything, it's a pointless game. And he has his receivers. I've hammered this home so many times. He knows what his receivers want. He knows where they want the ball, where they don't like the ball. So we have an advantage as far as chemistry goes. That is a big deal in my book. I know people are like, whatever happens on the field, that's what happens. Well, when you have chemistry on your side, a lot can happen in your favor. And those odds are tremendously high when you have that chemistry, especially on your sideline going into a game against a Florida, against a, you know, an Ole Miss, against a Georgia, against an LSU, against an Alabama. Like, hopefully, you know, we'll capitalize on that. And, you know, the talent that Byron Brown has throwing, but, you know, also running, we can take advantage of. And I think that Golish and company have something brewed up that the league is not ready for. So we will see what happens, and you know, if we can take advantage of that.
And then I also want to bring up real quick. I was just looking at stats more. Mm-hmm. He did not throw. Byrum did not throw for under 200 yards once last year.
Good Lord, man.
His smallest amount of passing yards was 210 against Boise State, and then 211 against Charlotte. And then other than that, I mean, it was at least 240, around 240 or more. Wow. In every single game. I mean, it was 210 Boise State, 263 against Florida, 274 against Miami, 236 against South Carolina State, 211 against Charlotte, 245 against North Texas, 256 against FAU, 269 against Memphis, 239 against UTSA, 327 against Navy, 353 against UAB, and 275 against Rice.
Woo! Woo! I'll take that all day, every day. I cannot wait for football season. And you know what else I can't wait for is to see people in their gear from AUShirts.com. That's what I can't wait to see. AUShirts.com, get all your gear from all the shows at the barn. You see some of the options on your screen there. You got the Barn Hard shirt, the FE Iron shirt, if you know, you know, on that one. The Book shirt, the C5 hoodies, the Book hat. We also have some other hoodie, shirt, and hat options as well for you, including some mugs as well. We add new styles weekly. Again, if you buy a shirt from AUShirts.com, be sure to tag me, Graham, or the Barn, or all the above, and let us know you're sporting your gear, whether at home, at your tailgate, in the stadium, on the road, or in Atlanta against Baylor. We'd love to shout you out on the show. So again, if you want to support all your favorite shows at the Barn, go to AUShirts.com. Again, that is AUShirts.com.
Also go to buyauburn.com while you're at it and be who you say you are and do business with Auburn people everywhere. Like I said before, if you are an Auburn business owner and own your own business, then buyauburn.com is the place for you to get your business on a website that other Auburn fans can shop and come use your services whenever they need it. Like I said, if you're just a customer, then buyauburn.com is another fantastic place for you because you can support the family, support the Auburn fan base, and it's a great way to get to know each other, know the fan base, and just support it. So go to buyauburn.com today if you'd like to sign up or just search out the index.
Yes, please do that. Again, I say it every show. It's not just one. It's not just two. It's not just three. It is handfuls among handfuls of businesses that are being added every single day. So what is stopping you from letting your friend that might have a local business and some ties to Auburn, letting them know about buyauburn.com? So again, that is buyauburn.com. Graham, the funniest thing that I have seen is some of these, and granted, EA Sports got us whenever they were promoting College Football 27, because they were showing the likeness of what the players looked like in the pads and the helmet. And I'm thinking, okay, that kind of looks like Byrum Brown. Okay, all right, that looks like, you know, Jeremiah Smith, you know, like people, like, it's just like, okay, yeah, we're looking good. That looks like, you know, Cobb in the, you know, in the Auburn uniform. Then you start seeing the player portraits. Byrum Brown looks like he is strung out. Looks like Travis Scott. You have players that don't look like themselves. Gunnar Stockton does not look like Gunnar Stockton. He looks like someone named Buford.
They did fix Gunnar Stockton. He does look better, but it's still not.
The original, though.
Better than what it was. It's better than what it was.
Yeah, the original Gunnar Stockton looked like Buford from Phineas and Ferb. I'm not even kidding. But Auburn's very own, I believe he's a punter, kicker, punter, whatever. I'll kind of throw it to you to kind of let you lay the foundation, but this made me laugh so hard because of, like, just, he's not really animated about it. He's just in shock, as is everyone else with their, you know, player likeness. But Graham, I kind of throw it to you.
Yeah, so on this. Auburn punter Hudson Cock, he's from the land down under. He's from Australia. You know, Auburn likes to go after the Australian punters. This is, I think, like our third or fourth punter in a row that's from Australia.
Yes.
Personally, I love it because as someone who lived there for 5 years, those guys know how to kick a ball. And so, yeah, Hudson Cock is reacting to his player image in College Football 27. And if you're listening on audio, hop over to YouTube to check it out and see it. But this is his reaction.
A really cool part about being a college football player is that you're in the college football game. And you get your own profile and you get to play as yourself, or anyone can play as you. So you get excited to see yourself in the game, and they do something like this. Who is that? What is with the lid on that bloke? That's me. And they got that? I mean, I've seen some bad ones. I don't know if it seems worse because it's just me, but that's not even close. I mean, if I look like that, I've got bigger problems on my hands. It's horror.
That's so good. The accent makes it so much better, by the way. The lid on that bloke takes me out every time. And then he says that he goes, if that's what I look like, then I have more problems besides this. It owns me. It's just like, I don't know. That's one thing I've been worried about with the college football franchise, because, you know, the whole microtransaction thing was one thing, but it's just kind of, they just kind of throw it together. And at the end of the day, you're not looking at like exactly every single minute detail of what a player looks like. It's more so the gameplay and the, you know, making sure the game actually plays as intended, which is a college football video game. Okay. But at least get as close as you can, right? That looked like Gunnar Stockton 2.0. That was bad. That is so bad. That didn't even look like Hudson at all. That is crazy. Like what? Like
I've seen multiple. I mean, like multiple. Like I mean, really, none of our players look like our players. Like to be completely honest.
No, the closest is Cobb, maybe. Maybe.
I think Atkins is probably the closest, just because he's our best player. But
yeah.
Even Cobb, I think, doesn't even really look like him. Like, if you look at Cobb and look at his thing.
No. Maybe his hairstyle kind of, you know, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Something about the, I don't know. It's just, it's funny how they got me because they, you know, the coach likeness looked like Kiffin looks like Kiffin. They made Kurt Cignetti look like Kurt Cignetti. Like, obviously, because, you know, coming off a national championship, we're going to make the, you know, the school that just won the Natty, you know, everything look as good as it possibly can to showcase that. But, you know, the cover athletes got their likeness, you know, same as last year with Ryan Williams or Ryan Coleman or whatever he identifies as now. And, you know, it's just, it just shows that they put special treatment on the cover athletes, the coaches, and, you know, whoever won the Heisman last year. And
even in, know, the first game in 2025, when, you know, Travis Hunter was on the cover of it, that's a very similar thing where, like none of the players looked like themselves except Travis Hunter and Quinn Ewers.
And who was the Michigan running back?
And I think his name was like Donovan Edwards or something like that.
Yes, Donovan Edwards. That's right.
They actually looked like themselves, kinda. Yeah. More than everybody else, and that was it.
Like Arch has looked like Arch because it's Arch Manning. They're gonna.
I get it. You want like your star players who are selling the game to look like themselves.
Right.
And so like, I'm not mad about it. It's just, it's hard to do. I mean, there's 138, I think,
yeah,
teams in the game. You can't be perfect for every single player. It's just not going to happen.
No, but you could take a page out of like, I mean, I'm sure multiple studios do it, but like, have you seen the dome that people will walk into and there's just lenses everywhere. Like there's a game that came out a couple years ago called LA Noire, made by Rockstar Games, who does Red Dead and GTA. And the whole point was to get every single facial feature possible and to like give them lines to read, because the whole point of the game is it's like a murder mystery game set in like the late 40s, 50s, something like that in LA. And you're trying to figure out if people are lying to you or not, whether they committed a crime, right? And you use that facial technology. But like, and then you get to 2026. That game came out, like I'm talking, I was in, going into freshman year of high school when that game came out. We're in 2026 and you got, you know, poor Hudson Cock looking like Buford. Like that is no. I don't know, man. It's just, and like, even like you were talking about how like the three cover athletes for 25 looked like themselves. Arch Manning still looked like himself because the hype back then was still, you know, he was the backup and everyone, like there's the picture of Quentin Ewers at that press conference. No one is at his booth and they're all at Arch and he's the backup quarterback. It just, I don't know. But hopefully they can figure that out. But I do agree it is hard because you have such a big pool. It's like FIFA, right? You have such a big pool of players, but at the same time, FIFA gets their players right.
That's true.
For the most part.
Also get MLB The Show. That's another one that has, they even have, now they do have a lot of minor, like almost all the minor league teams in there, at least AAA and AA. I don't know how accurate they look for the minor leagues. But I'd have to check that out. But I mean, that's just another game that has a lot of players in it.
Yeah. But like, even like back in the day, like some of the earlier like NBA games, like I think it was like 2K12 or 2K11 when I started playing 2K, Kobe Bryant looked like ET. I was like, what am I looking at? The closest resembling player that actually looked like themselves was LeBron and D-Wade and Dirk, pretty much, and maybe Russ. But back in, you know, now it's gotten a lot better, obviously. But my Lord, it was...
Now it's hard to tell the difference between what's real and not.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, hopefully they figure that out. Shout out to Hudson. That was really funny. It made me laugh this weekend. And, you know, but we also have this week, and we'll be talking about it more tomorrow, Coach Golish and company are wheels up to Tampa. They posted a picture today of Champ Anthony, Byron Brown, Coach Golish, and Alex McPherson getting on the, I don't know what the Jets called. I kind of hope it's called Auburn Force One. That would be really cool. Or War Force One. I don't know what they call it. But yeah, you got Champ Anthony, Byron Brown, and Coach Golish and Alex McPherson there, for those that can't see it. So they're get ready to go. Champ Anthony looks like he is about to like hit the meanest salute you've ever like seen in your life. The man is standing at attention, man, at ease. Come on now. But, yeah, they are, they're headed to Tampa. It is currently going on right now, as we speak. Greg Sankey kind of dropped the ball today.
He wasn't a big fan of what he said. He didn't really say anything.
No,
to be honest. Kind of just, you know, floated around answers. Didn't want to answer anything. No one really got any information out of it. So wasn't the best.
Can I like just real quick before we end it, a hot take, just a quick hot take. You know, everyone's talking about how they want to do away with the conference championship weekends, how they're just irrelevant. Am I wrong to say that SEC media days are kind of becoming more and more irrelevant? And I feel like ever since they left Birmingham, it's literally just for sound bites. That's about it. Because the coaches don't want to be there.
It's strictly just for like,
yeah,
TV media mainly, just to have something that they can use.
Yeah.
Make stories on,
right? Like I'm glad we're going, right?
Yeah,
but you got these other coaches like Lane Kiffin, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the freaking conference, for crying out loud, acted like he didn't want to be there today. And I love Greg Sankey, but my God, it's like, dude. Yeah.
And like, you also like, all these coaches are going to get asked the exact same questions that they've already been asked by their local media 1,000 times since the end of last season.
Yeah, that's true.
Because this is now a chance for like national media to come in and be like, oh, here, let's ask you these questions. But they've already answered all these questions because the local media, you know, like when like Golish has press conferences in Auburn, they've already asked him those exact same questions. He's just going to re-answer the same questions. Yeah. In my opinion, it really is for TV, you know, to be like, hey, talk about everything. And I kind of view it, I think it would be more fun to be there in person, and I kind of view it as the unofficial start to football season. Like, now that we're past SEC media days, like, fall camp is going to ramp up, and then before you know it, we're going to be playing in Atlanta. So,
woo, can't wait. Yeah, I know that Zach and Daryl are there right now, which, by the way, if Zach Blackerby is watching this, I doubt he is, but if he is, the haircut is killer, my guy. Man's looking like Paul Atreides and doing Part 3. Man's ready to go. Will he be doing the war chant? No, probably not. Not at SEC Media Days, but I expect to hear the war chant at some point during football season or basketball season, or just tomorrow. I don't care. However you want to do it. If you've seen the Dune Part 3 trailer, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, with that being said, I don't got anything else. You got anything, Graham?
Speaking of trailers, Avengers Doomsday trailer's out. Go check it out.
Yeah, that came out today. They got another trailer for Dune Part 3 during the Odyssey, which, by the way, I saw this weekend. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's a 10 out of 10. It is in my top 5 of Christopher Nolan movies ever, at number 2, right behind Interstellar. It is really good. Really good. I read the Odyssey in high school, like sophomore year, I want to say, freshman year, sophomore year, somewhere in there. But don't remember much about it, and then saw this movie, and I was like, wow, that was really good. So definitely go see it in IMAX if you can. But yeah, lots of good movies are coming out. The Avengers trailer was solid, though. So good. It put that kind of Marvel nostalgia back in my bloodstream that I've ever so been coveting. So, Star Wars, where you at? But it's okay. It's fine. It's, Disney's going to Disney. But yeah, other than that, I don't got anything else. You got anything?
That's it.
Cool. Well, everyone have a great rest of your Monday night. As always, be sure to subscribe, follow us on social media, follow us wherever you get your podcast, subscribe on YouTube, hit the like button, hit the notifications so you don't miss anything from us, because we are your number one source for anything and everything Auburn sports related. But yeah, with that being said, my name is Hunter Bussey. Next to me is Graham McLean. As always, you have been watching or listening to the Barnes Social Hour. We will see you next time. War damn.
Adios.